time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in to Hump Day Wednesday, September the 11th, 2024 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. 9/11, 23 years ago today. September the 11th, 2001, changed America forever. Never forget where I was at. I've told you guys the story before. Standing outside of Selfridge Air Force Base down in Macomb County. VFW Highway, William Russell Highway, M59 Hall Road, whatever you want to call it. East of I-94 in Chesterfield Township. I was out inspecting some property for a development we were going to be doing. Vicky called me and said a jet was flown into one of the World Trade Center towers. Looked like an accident. I'm like, there's no way that's an accident. A couple of minutes later, the second jet flew into the second tower. No sooner did she tell me that, two jets took off from Selfridge Air Force Base and flew right over my head. They were so low to the ground, as I looked up, I could literally read the letters on the bottom of the jets. Didn't hear their engines, of course, because the noise was behind them. No sooner did they zoom over my head did they go absolutely, absolutely full blast. The afterburners were kicked in. They went supersonic and literally knocked me on the ground. I mean, they just disappeared. The noise was horrific. Later found out they were the two jets that were sent up from Selfridge Air Force Base. Maybe there were others, but their mission was to take down the third jet before it hit the Capitol. And as you know, the passengers on the jet took it down in a field in Pennsylvania. Where were you at when you heard the news? Where were you at that day when you heard about the attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon? Just text me at work, heard later that afternoon, whatever the situation. Vicky watched it live on TV, and called me on my cell phone. Immediately, the country came together. American flags went up everywhere. George W. Bush made that famous speech on the pile of rubble there in New York City. The people who did this will hear from us. And that changed America basically forever. As we knew it, Patriot Act, Mike Rogers, Pete Hoekstra, all the people in Washington at the time were scrambling to figure out how this happened and what to do about it. Dr. Jeff is going to be in the house in the next segment. He's got some information about 9/11. We'll share it with you. We'll be right back.
Tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
There that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number one on this hump day Wednesday. Joining us on the line right now is Dr. Jeff from Sioux Animal Hospital up in Sault Ste. Marie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So I asked the question, and I've gotten a few text messages, responses. Where were you on the morning of September 11, 2001, when you heard the news? Did you hear it live? Were you watching it later? Well, what was your situation, Jeff?
All right, I can tell you exactly. I was working at Dickman Road in Battle Creek. I had just walked into room number one to give first set of vaccines to a yellow lab puppy. And, you know, I'm going through my spiel and talking like, oh, what a cute puppy, you know, doing the thing. Toby, one of our technicians, comes up and goes, a plane just hit the tower. We're like, what? What are you talking about? And we had an old TV set with rabbit ears. You know, kids, ask your parents what rabbit ears are. And we managed to, with tinfoil, pick up a signal.
Sure.
And I saw the second plane hit. And I can remember telling my wife at the time, I'm like, that's it, I'm going to war. That's, you know, I just, and that's kind of what, you know, led me down the path for my, you know, my military career too, was that really kind of, you know, yeah.
It's, yeah, that was the trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, were you already in the military on reserves, or what was your situation?
Nope, I was just a regular vet, you know, just a civilian. And that really started getting me involved into search and rescue, because obviously at that point I was still breeding German Shepherds for police work and doing, you know, working with the guys there.
Sure.
And that got me more into training search and rescue dogs. We also did train a couple cadaver dogs too, which is not talked about as much, but is another important aspect of law enforcement and you know, the whole search and rescue family too.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then obviously when the towers came down, all these search and rescue dogs came out of the woodwork, that and that really put them in the limelight too. I think people always in the past kind of knew, yeah, you know, there's rescue dogs, and I think people always thought they were typically, you know, the colloquial bloodhound, you know, chasing the convict through the swamps of Georgia or something like that.
Right, right.
This really put them right up into the forefront, and people are like, oh, wow. And people didn't realize what these dogs can do and what they're capable of. So
now, did you actually, in part of that process, the training and participating with those animals, did you do that here in Michigan? Were you in New York, Washington? Where did you end up going?
That, I did it here in Michigan, in Battle Creek. They did have a search and rescue team, and we helped, you know, so I joined the team. I already had some trained tracking dogs because I was doing Schutz and tracking already.
Sure.
So I helped them bring up their canine unit.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so I did it here, and you know, here in the state.
Now, one of the things that is pretty interesting, that was actually the process led you to actually join the military at that point. Is that basically where you enlisted? How did that go down?
That I joined a few years later.
Few years, okay.
Yeah, because they're, you know, life and everything. I tried to obviously support as much as I could, and at that point they had enough veterinarians. So they really didn't need anybody at that time. But then fast forward a few years, they didn't have as many. And I kind of got more involved, you know, at that is when I got in. It was 2009. So it was a few years later.
Gotcha.
But that's kind of what got that whole ball rolling. Of course, it took about 2 years to go through the recruitment process. And when you're recruiting a medical officer, which is what I was, it's a completely different recruiter. You don't go down to the local, you know, strip mall and go in.
Sure.
It's a specific medical recruiting thing, too. And funny story, too, anybody out there has ever gone through MEPS, so I had to go through MEPS. And, you know, you got to stand in line and stuff like that. So I walk in there, and everybody's getting their folders, and I walk in, I get my folder. My folder looks different. I'm like, so I asked the, you know, sergeant there, I'm like, Sarge, how come this one looks different? He goes, oh, you're a medical officer candidate. That means you don't stand in lines. I'm like, really? Okay.
Okay.
So I go through and they, you know, and I didn't have any place else to do. So I just stay in line and wait with the guys because, I mean, what am I going to do? I was there all day. And except I got to this one line. I was about done, and this is a long line. I'm like, you know what? All right, I'm going to pull this card. So I get out of line. I go walking up to the desk there for this last. I can't even remember what the last test was. And, of course, the sergeant up there is like, hey, you get back in, liar. And so and then I – because I had it kind of behind my back. And then I pulled out that file, and he goes, oh, sorry, sir. Step right
sorry,
this way.
Sorry, sir. Okay.
So I just kind of – anybody who's been through MEPS knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. And what level ranking did that give you when you finally were accepted into the military?
Came in as a captain.
Okay.
So – came as a captain, went out as a major, and actually I liked being a captain better than I liked being a major, because once I got to the 04, I got put in a charge of a lot more projects that I didn't even know we were even doing, because now you're a field grade officer, and I like that 03 captain level. I had just enough responsibility, but, you know, I'm like,
right.
Can I go back to being a captain now?
Right.
I like that better.
Yeah. Gotcha. So ultimately, where did you end up going? Where were you based out of?
So the closest veterinary unit is in Fort Sheridan, right down the coast from Great Lakes Naval, over by Chicago.
Oh, okay. So, Illinois.
Yep, right there in Illinois. And, of course, at that time I lived in Battle Creek, so it was really easy. I could just, whoop, you know, zip right around the, you know, the
tip
south
of the
end.
Lake.
Yeah, tip of the lake, and boom, was there. And so I got there, hit my first drill in July of 09, and the first drill, he's going, hey, guess what? We're being deployed. So
whoa.
I had to come back, and I told him, I'm like, yep, I'm going in a year. And within a year, we left for... it would have been the end of July of 10. We left for Fort Hood for being processed and get ready to be deployed. And then I actually landed in country. Of course, we went to, you know, Kuwait at first, Arifjan. 9/11 is actually when we landed, which I thought was pretty poignant.
Mm-hmm.
And then... our group as veterinarians, we kind of split up from there. Our command stayed in Arifjan. I actually got sent to Qatar to be in charge down there of the country down there and the animals and the food and everything like that. So,
gotcha.
Yep.
And what that a journey.
Was, yeah. And it really interesting. I could, the thing that really, I mean, you know, you're in the army and it's riskful, but at this point, it's kind of like it hadn't really sunk in yet until we landed. We were in country, and I can remember sitting there in the defact eating breakfast, and of course they had like news playing and stuff, and literally a week after we landed is when that major shot up Fort Hood's medical facility. I cannot remember the
boy.
Guy's name. You remember that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He was, I'm trying to remember his name. Anyway, yeah. But that was that the facility you were at?
Those were the seats I was sitting in.
Whoa.
Literally, they show the picture. I'm like, dude, and I told my sergeant, I'm like, we were in those seats a month ago or, you know, a week ago. And he'd been deployed several times and stuff like that. You know, they always try to pair a younger, newer captain with an older seasoned NCO because any new officers out there, get old and trust your NCOs, man. They will help you so much. It's so I always made sure that my sergeants and everybody got treated good because I'll tell you what, they will make you or break you. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But he's like, yes, sir. We're in the army. We're at war. I'm like, wow. Even right now, I still get kind of a little, you know, feeling on it. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. A week earlier. Wow. That's amazing. Well, I do want to talk about something that you did yesterday that basically only you and Michigan State University at the vet school there in East Lansing are actually capable of doing. Explain that surgery you went through yesterday.
Well, went ahead and had another dog come in standard, what we call ADR or ain't doing right. And Dr. Haley had worked it up, and we really couldn't quite figure out what was going on. So she's like, hey, go ahead and ultrasound this dog. So we ultrasound it, and this gallbladder in this dog is huge. I mean, just, I mean, it's like the size of an orange.
Wow.
And it's not supposed to be that big. And so talk to the owners. I says, you probably got some kind of gallbladder dysfunction. You know, we can, you know, I went through the list. We can try medical treatment. Because remember, it's my job to give you all your options and then help you pick the best option.
Sure.
And we decided that, okay, we're going to go ahead and remove it, which is something that I can do here. The funny thing is, about a week or two ago, I was talking to Dr. Goodman, Caitlin Goodman, who you've talked to her on the radio before.
Sure.
And she told me that she's in surgery rotation right now, I think at State. Whoever the surgeon said there at State, that only Michigan State takes out gallbladders. And she's like, excuse me, but.
Right. Raise my hand. Yeah, I got some additional information. What was their response to what Caitlin had to tell them?
She didn't tell me that part. So I just thought it was kind of funny that she's like, excuse me. Because I think she actually helped me take out a couple while she was interning here, too.
Sure.
So, and then she's going to be back here January, I believe. So.
Okay. Will she be done with her rotation?
Not yet. She won't graduate till May, but part of their rotation is they have to do a small animal, you know, another internship.
Oh, okay.
So she'll be back up here, so that'll be nice.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent. Get her back and yep. Head into May graduation.
Yep.
Now, one other thing, I did get a text message talking about gallbladders. What was the... prognosis was it had the animal had not done the surgery, what was the alternative is what they're asking.
Well, there's multiple reasons gallbladders can go bad. One is you can get a gallstone, all right, which is what people are fairly familiar with, and dogs can get those too. The other thing is you can get this, what do they call it, biliary dyskinesis, which is actually kind of what I have, because I've got – that's kind of what I feel for these dogs, because I've got gallbladder issues too. They just haven't got to the point where I need to have mine out yet, but I've been, you know, working with my doctor, and we've been monitoring it and such. But sure. What's happening is the gallbladder is not contracting like it's supposed to, so it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and starts stretching, and it hurts, and it's uncomfortable. And the dog, the signs were he had elevated – some elevated liver enzymes, and the dog is sick. You know the dog's sick, but when you're hard to figure out why is he sick. That's what we call this really nebulous. That's what we call them ADRs. You know, they just ain't doing right.
Yeah.
And once we start got the ultrasound a few years ago, and I started looking at these gallbladders, I'm like, man, that looks big. And took a couple out. And then when I was at some of my advanced surgical training, talking to one of my instructors,
yeah,
talking about gallbladders, he said that, yeah, we don't take them out soon enough. We wait too long as veterinarians, and you can get, you know, if your gallbladder goes bad, you can die from it. You can get a bile peritonitis, and it can go bad.
That's why you decide to remove it, safe and sound and good to go.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, well, we appreciate you. We want you to take the phone number down for Dr. Jeff, Sioux Animal Hospital. 906-635-5910. Store it in your phone. Give him a call, schedule an appointment, ask your questions. Greatly appreciate you, Jeff. Thanks for that story.
All right, thanks a lot.
On the Hour News.